Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely cloud. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Funny, but it seems I always wind up here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about.
But a goodie, Irene. Thank you for your pick. It's nice to have a bit of an oldie person on the show with me because I get to listen to some of that old music.
Oh, for goodness sake, girl. Don't you realise that everybody listens to my music these days? I've gone right through all the genres and all the new things over the years and they've all gone back to my music. I love going to a pub at night because I know all the words.
That's a bit like fashion, isn't it? You know when you think, oh, I won't throw that bit of clothes out, and it comes round. Takes a few years. It takes a few many years, but it comes back round.
And it's really interesting because they do the same with fashion as what they do with music, and that is they just tweak it a little bit. So with music, they'll take one of those good old oldies, and then they'll just put this little hip-hoppy chorusy thing in the middle, which just makes it extra special, you know. I just love it. And they do with the same with fashion. They'll take a pair of jeans that were once, flared, and they make them baggy from the hip down rather than the knee down, you know? I mean, they just tweak everything a little bit. It's really nice. I like it.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, just as you were talking about that and the flares and everything else, for some ungodly reason, I don't know why, popped into my head, wine coolers. Now, I hope they don't come back, but they probably are. I don't know, because you get all those mixed drinks. But remember, they used to be called wine coolers, and it was wine mixed with some sweet yuck juice.
Oh, yes, I remember now. I think I tried it once, and I said it was a pollution to wine, and I never, ever tried it again. They were absolutely ghastly. They really, really were. But I tell you what I have discovered, which I haven't got round to doing yet because I have to find somewhere to wash my bottle properly. But the New World in Albany has got one of the orange machines that I used to rave about years ago. Over in Spain, every little shop and every little corner dairy and wherever you go in Spain, you can just stick your bottle under and you can get pure, freshly squeezed, wonderful Valencia orange juice. And I discovered it in Albany the other day. I mean, everybody's going to say, oh, Irene's been there for years, but it's the first time I've ever seen it. And I went, at last, oh my God, 20 years down the track I've been preaching this, and at last we've got one. So fresh orange juice. And I went, you know what? Vodka's better for me than wine. Orange juice, that is so good for me. I think the wine's going out there. I've just got to find a way to wash these bottles properly because I hate, they're all in plastic bottles and I hate the pollution idea of them.
Oh, that is so funny. Actually, wine's out the door. Yeah, right. Actually, interestingly enough, with these lovely kind of, these really hot, hot days, I've actually been, and I know our listeners out there are going to go, Mariska, you didn't do that, did you? I've just been putting a few ice cubes, actually, or an ice cube in my wine just to keep it that nice and cool. And it just, I just find some of the wines these days are actually quite, I don't know, sweet and maybe just a little bit heavy. I don't know. Maybe it was just the bottle of wine I got for this really, really hot weather. And I know it's like putting water in your wine, but kind of it's not. But anyway, I know, sacrilege. But there you have it.
Well, I'll actually tell you, in Italy, they do put ice in their red wine. When it is really, really hot, they will put one cube of ice in their red wine, and they do not consider that to be a sacrilege. So they, putting the red wine in the fridge, they consider to be a sacrilege, but not putting that ice cube. Don't ask me why. Everybody will go blah, blah, at me, and I'm just not interested in the logistics of it. It's just cool. Just do it.
Well, and you know, when you think back, interestingly, with red wine, you know, way back in the day, people had cellars, and cellars were always cool, you know. So when we think of it, we, you know, got the wine in the kitchen there or wherever, it's a lot warmer than what it would have been back in the day. Yeah. So makes sense.
Totally agree with that. And as for the quality of the wine, I don't know about you, but I'm finding unless you stick to that really good wine, which is always a ridiculous price because people are realizing that, you know, before you used to have your really cheap wines and then you had your lovely middle of the road wines, which were affordable to most people. And then you had the wines that were definitely extra special, but they're normally out of your price range and you only buy them for your birthday or something, you know. But now there doesn't seem to be the bottom and the middle of the road are all crap. They are all crap. And all you've got is that good quality, which are $40 a bottle, you know. So that's one of the reasons why I'm going to vodka and orange, because I'm over buying wine that is just – and I'll get a brand, I'll get a label that makes a really nice wine and I'll – be loyal to them, and then they turn around and they, I don't know, they change their winemaker or they get bought out by somebody or something happens and that label becomes crap. And it's just really bad. It's got, and once again, it'll be because they're all trying to make more profit and so they're cutting costs and cutting corners and they're cutting my business.
Well, I'll tell you what, our little grapevine decided to give us grapes this year. And, you know, you can never, now I don't know about, if any of our listeners out there know how to do this, but I presume it's the type of grape vine that you can that's available to us. But they're never that nice, sweet grape that, you know, there's always that, that doesn't matter how ready they are, they're always kind of sour. They've always got, you know, as you're eating them. So I thought, okay. So it was kind of like squash the grape in your mouth, then spit out the skin and the bit round the thing because it was like really sour. But the juice and that was really nice. Now, I'm not a big favour of grape juice as such, apart from the wine thing, which goes a bit further. So I thought, right, I'm going to Google. I'll go and see Google and see what we can do with grapes. So anyway, because they were green grapes, I did make some sultanas and they actually tasted like sultanas. So that was just a matter of drying them in the oven. But I also pickled some. There was a recipe for pickled grapes. Now, I haven't tasted them yet because I haven't long done this, so they have to stay in the fridge for a month. But it was just like sugar, cloves, cinnamon, and black pepper. And you just made up that, and with a bit of water. So that was like the pickling spice. So, and then you just plonk the grapes in there for 5 minutes to swish it all around and plonk it in the jar in the fridge. So be interesting to see what they taste like.
Okay, well, here's a little tip. I don't know whether you'll be able to do it there or whether you'd want to do it because it'll probably be a lot more work. But the difference between a dried grape that has been, or a dried date that has been dried in the sun by Mother Nature and one that's been dried in man-made appliances is massive. And I found that out going through Morocco, going through Turkey. They would give you the different samples. They'd say, this is our cheap date because we put them through these drying ovens and they can produce way more of them. And this is our expensive date because it takes ages to dry. And the difference is like chalk and cheese.
It's amazing. Yeah, I could actually imagine that. And I'm just, as you were kind of talking, I was thinking, actually, with our humidity, I'm not sure we would be able to dry them because I think they'd end up, because I know a few times I've taken some off the vine and they've been kind of, you know, gone rotten, but that would be amazing to be able to do that. But I'm just not sure with our humidity here we'd be able to do it.
I would give it a shot. If they go mouldy or rotten or whatever, then you've at least tried it. But, you know, I used to dry fish on my boat, you know, and you've got huge humidity in the ocean on a boat, and I would dry fish on my boat because I couldn't freeze it all and whatever, and it dried. Dried fine, and that's salted fish as well, and salt attracts the moisture, and yet it's still dried, so give it a shot. You never
might
know.
Do, because there's a few bunches still left on there, and when I'd made my sultanas, because I had to Google this, now I know that white grapes are sultanas, black grapes are raisins, there you go. And I did do the fiddly stuff and cut them in half and flick the seed out. But I'm actually going to try, because there are a few bunches left, I will try one just by putting the whole grape. Takes ages to dry them, though, because I do it in the oven. I haven't got one of those air dryer thingies. And I'm thinking to myself, do I really need one? No. The oven's just good enough. So, but it takes a fair few hours to, you know, to get them down. But, yeah, I just thought that was quite cool. And just interesting, and I think why raisins and sultanas are so yummy, it just caramelizes the sugar, we have decided. That's all it does, and so they're yummy.
Exactly. That's all drying does, is caramelizing the sugar. Now, you brought two things to mind when you were talking then, and I've forgotten them both already. Oh, no, I haven't. Right. We're talking about Google. So two things on Google. Now, I've been picking up quite a few hitchhikers from all around the world, you know, from that place that's at war at the moment and, you know, everywhere. And very, very interesting, the teachings and learnings and that I get from these people. And one of them was a IT techie wizard over in, for goodness sake, the country that's at war with Russia.
Ukraine.
Ukraine. Thank you, dear. Mental block there. And he was telling me that if I go into Google and it's something to do with the web browser I didn't write it down, so I've totally forgotten how you do it, but you change the web browser so that it believes you are in Europe or somewhere else, not New Zealand, because the information you get when you put in a question is specifically for New Zealand. So what you were saying about the white grape and the black grape, if you can do that and change it to Europe, I think you'll find the information you get about what is a raisin and what is a sultana will be totally different.
Isn't that interesting? Right? Yeah.
Now, the other thing you mentioned about Google, I was in the WINS office yesterday. I want to get a community services card. And so I filled out the form and took it into this wonderful lady who works so goddamn hard. One person on reception with a queue going out the door all the time. It was just incredible. And her, the way she was managing everything, oh, my goodness, I couldn't praise her enough. There was this young man in front of me, and he'd gone in, and apparently he had a job interview, and she... as the appointments come in, she's checking them first and making sure they've got everything so that they're not wasting the time of the people that are interviewing them down the back. So this young man comes in and she spends a little bit of time with him. He obviously didn't have everything, whatever it was. And he kept going, and she'd say, well, go away and do this. And he'd ask another question. And it just, you know, and you could see her, I could see her getting firmer and firmer, and her back was getting straighter and straighter. And in the end, she turned around. She was telling him that he had to go and fill all these forms out and prove who he was and, you know, do all the legal stuff. And he was finding excuses all the time and wanting her to do it for him. And in the end, she said to him, do you have Facebook? And he said, yes. And she said, so you've got Facebook and Pinterest and all of those? And he said, yes. And she said, well, if you've got Facebook and Pinterest, then just go into Google and find out how to fill out this form. Because if you can do that, you can do the other. Now go. Honestly, I felt like standing there and clapping and hurrahing, but of course I had to shut up. I'm not supposed to be hearing anything. Man, she was good. She was so good. I mean, this young man would have probably been about 17, 18, maybe 20, and... absolutely, you know, there is no way. He was saying he didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to do this form, you know. And honestly, she just handled it so well.
So shout out to her.
My story's on Google. Yeah, I know. I know. I thought it was brilliant. It really was.
Big shout out to her. Yeah. Actually, on the Google thing, because sometimes I put the country as well. If I want New Zealand information, I will put in my search NZ at the end.
No, you actually have to get into that overseas.
Okay. Yeah.
And apparently it's not hard to do. I mean, this young man sat in the, I'm driving and he's telling me how to do it. And I'm like, yeah, I was thinking as I was driving, well, that ain't going to stay there, mate. Sorry. If you could write it down for me would be good. But I knew that would be a mission as well because we're driving and he wouldn't have paper and pen. And he's got a big backpack in the back. And yeah.
Yeah, no, awesome. Yeah, but interesting, eh, what you find sometimes and just kind of sifting through. And, you know, if I'm Googling for a recipe or something and I find something American versus New Zealand, actually these grape recipes must come from America because they used quartz. And I'm thinking, what the hell's a quart? Crikey, what's a quart? And I had to look at, what's a quart? You know, just give me cups and litres and millilitres and I'm happy. But isn't it funny, every time you have to kind of look up and, oh, Fahrenheit to Celsius, and it's just like, yeah.
It's frustrating, isn't it? I get frustrating with recipes that do things like half a cup of butter.
Yeah.
Why would you measure butter in cups, you know? I mean, yeah, they just really, really fascinate me, some of these things.
And because I'm not a baker, I don't know whether that means half a cup of melted butter. Because, you know, some of them, then you have to go on and I don't know, it mentions melted butter, and you think, well, is that half a cup of melted butter or normal butter? You know, and same sometimes with some of the, you know, it's easy for flour or sugar, half a cup's half a cup. But when, you know, you're doing fruit or anything that's not, doesn't sit all together, I kind of think, oh, God, what kind of that, what do they mean?
No. When I was in my chefing days and writing all those cookbooks and all the rest of it, it was one of my pet hates. I was constantly you know, going online where you review recipes and things, and I would give a scathing review to somebody saying, you haven't cooked with this recipe. It's obvious that you haven't cooked with this recipe because that just doesn't work. And as a chef and as doing it all the time, I could pick them out quick as daylight. But loads of people will fire these recipes on. I think it gets them more advertising or something, but you can tell that they've never actually done the recipe because it doesn't work.
That's like beetroot. I mean, obviously we've got a bit of beetroot coming out of the garden and you know, I thought, oh, well, I'll try. I've decided I don't like the beetroot ones. I like a simple beetroot, pickled beetroot recipe. Basically vinegar and a bit of sugar and some, well, that's about it, really. But then, you know, I thought, oh, I'll try a few different ones. But I've tried some that, oh, they go all a bit flowery with cloves and da-da-da, and it's like, yeah, no. But then it's like, what vinegar? White vinegar or malt vinegar?
Okay.
And it's just like...
Here is Auntie Irene's tip of the day, beetroot. I do this all the time. As soon as I'm in a house sit, I will get a couple of beetroot from the supermarket and I will lightly but high roast them in the oven, cut into cubes, you know, about 1-inch cubes or whatever. I mean, that's not non-important. Ooh. And they're still sort of a little bit crunchy on the inside. And while they're still hot, you put them into a container with a lid and throw mirin and rice vinegar.
What's the first thing?
Mirin, M-I-R-I-N. It's like a, it's what they put in sushi. You can buy it in. It is just makes the most beautiful. And I keep my beetroot for... probably 3 weeks in my little camping fridge here.
Awesome. Well, I might try that. I'll have to go and find some of that. And yeah, but I mean, I've decided all in all, I'm a malt vinegar lady with beetroot. It's malt vinegar that I pickle them with, not white vinegar. And white vinegar actually takes the colour off them. I suppose, as you say, it's all taste. But if you're going to give us little, well, me, non-baker recipe, can you just be a little bit more clearer? All right, well, that's enough grumbling for today, isn't it? I think that's probably about all we've got time for today. But hey, if you guys out there have got any recipes of pickled beetroot or anything you do with this kind of surplus of summer fruit and veg, please do share it. Pop it up there. But remember, it needs to be specific. We'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Fine light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, we're like diamonds in the sky. You're a shooting star. A vision of ecstasy. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds in the sky. I knew that we'd become one right away. Oh, right away. At first sight, I felt the energy of some rage. I saw the light. We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. Eye to eye, so alive. We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shining bright like a diamond.
We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright like a diamond.
To the universe as we moonshine and Mali, feel the warmth will never die. We're like diamonds.